Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Shonky Lab, the Christmas special. I'm Elton, and joining me are two very special guest producers. To my left, my theoretical left, I like to think of, we have Odile.
Hello.
And to my right, my theoretical right, I have Amber.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. Quickly, around the table, or to my left and right type thing. Is everyone excited now?
Oh, God. Kaylee is, obviously. She's answering for me. Sadly, I am not, and I'm hoping that after our episode, I will be all excited about Christmas. Good luck, guys. That's your mission, by the way, to get me excited about Christmas this year. Good luck.
Okay. No pressure.
Yeah. Challenge accepted.
Good.
Amber, what about you? Are you excited?
Christmas is not my favorite holiday. So while I'm excited for the people who like the holiday, I'm not quite as excited for myself.
Ah, yes. You're the Halloween queen, aren't you?
I am. Yes. Yeah. Give me two Halloweens a year. I'll be happy. Give me half a Christmas. That's more to my liking.
Okay. Oh, that's fair enough. Yeah. Okay. So we are here to talk about Christmas traditions. And I think this is going to work quite well because we have three people from three parts of the world.
Yeah.
Hopefully we've all got our own little traditions that we go through and follow and pass on to our family and friends and stuff. So where would you guys like to start with this? Because I've had my tree up for it went up in November, didn't it? Yeah. I apologize. It won't be happening ever again. and I'll explain this. So okay. We don't normally get a tree until we have like a big family gathering towards Christmas, and normally first, second, maybe even the third weekend of December. It really does depend on people's schedules and stuff. Mm. And then we get the Christmas tree after that because it's always in the way because it goes in the front room, and we normally get all the big tables out and put them in the front room so everyone can sit around them. And now we've got the room because we moved into a bigger and better house. We have the room to put up the tree. And my mum gave me her fake tree. So that went up immediately. Who's going to put that in the loft straight away? We're not going to put that in the loft straight away. That was there in November. And we're like, we haven't had a proper Christmas for a couple of years now because of certain things going through. Everyone's had a bit of a crap year last year. Mm. And this is the first time in a couple of years where we've actually gone, we can actually enjoy this. So we got our tree up early.
So you're going to make up for the years with an extra long, happy Christmas period.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, I suppose you had your last Christmas really late, like 11 months late.
It really? Could be said that, yes. Yeah.
And then you're going to have this year Christmas on time.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when do you guys normally start getting excited, getting stuff up ready for the big day?
Shall I start?
Yes.
I normally do it maybe the very last day, or my very first day of the Christmas break. So we break up from school as I'm a teacher, as many of you know already. So we break up around the 16th of December, something like that. So possibly on the 17th, then I do it. Now, a few years ago, I tried to start a tradition, but yeah, no, that just didn't happen, to be honest. But so maybe, maybe on the 17th or whenever the school holidays start.
Ah, okay. So you don't have anything knocking around the house leading up to that point then, though?
No, not even a whatever advent calendar. Not even that. Actually, the kids at school asked me, one of them said, Miss, Miss, you've got your advent calendar. And I went, it's not a French thing. So, nope.
Oh, man alive.
Not even when you were a kid?
No, that doesn't exist in France. And maybe it does now, but when I was a kid, we didn't have an advent calendar. It's just like, no. I've never heard of those until I came to the UK.
My grandma used to get us advent calendars every year, and we'd start religiously on the 1st of December and start eating our chocolate. And if we could sneak it, two or three at a time.
Oh, you don't do that. Have you done that then?
Delayed gratification has never been my thing.
Okay. So yeah. you can't... No self-control is what you're saying, really.
Well, that's the less nice way to say it, yeah. Thanks. Thanks for that.
No judging here. No judging.
I usually started, my family would go out and cut down a live tree. So we would do that about 2 weeks before Christmas. That way it stays nice and fresh and smelling good all the way through to around the New Year time. So that's when we got out the Christmas decorations and got our tree. So about the 15th-ish.
Excellent. So you actually go out and cut your own tree down?
Yeah. My dad would bring a little saw and the whole family would go out and we'd go out to a big Christmas tree farm and choose the tallest or the fattest or the one with the least amount of holes. And yeah, we'd pick the tree we want. He'd cut it down while we played tag or something. And then we'd all drive home.
That's incredible.
That is really cool.
It was awesome.
And you and Andy will be doing this year, yes?
I believe they have a fake one in the loft.
I can't see Andy putting a tree on his shoulder and walking back.
No, he's definitely a city boy.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not sure there's many Christmas tree area to go and cut around London, is there?
I haven't even thought to look, to be honest. I don't know. Have you ever seen one, Elton?
Nope.
Yeah.
What, a Christmas tree or
a Christmas tree farm?
A Christmas tree farm? No, I haven't seen one. No, I should have really, especially where I live at the moment. But and the place that we got it from this year, I didn't go out and get it. Amanda and Kimmy went out and got it as like a little, let's go and get this type thing. And so they got the real one now. So that is perched up in the front room at the moment, which is looking splendid.
So you have two Christmas trees?
Yeah, we're like, well, posh, we got one in the East Wing and one in the West Wing.
So where do the gift go?
So around the... See, now we're starting a whole new tradition now because we moved into this house. We have like a nice conservatory and a front room, and we've got one in each. So it's all like Christmassy throughout the house. Otherwise, you go into the front room, yeah, Christmas, and you go into the conservatory, it's Wednesday. But yeah, we don't want that. So we want the whole house feeling Christmassy. So we got the fake one in the conservatory and the real one in the front room. And the presents will go around the real one in the front room because that's the main one.
Okay.
Yeah, the one in the conservatory, that's just decoration. That's a decoration one. That's to bring the spirit through the house. But the main one is now perched nicely in the front room.
So you're talking about the decorations. Do you have any tradition around your decorations?
We got nice little trinkets that go around the house, like Father Christmases and snowmen and snowmen on parachutes and weird little things like that. And what we do, we pull all the cup placemat type things, the coasters out. And we have Christmas ones. And so they come out and replace all the other coasters. So it's just got this Christmas vibe that goes around. We don't have the 80s circa Christmas decorations, though. I don't know if anyone else did this type thing, though.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to Google something now. Okay. Let me Google 80s Christmas.
So while you Google that, what about you, Amber? Do you have any, like, decoration tradition, or how important are the decorations for you?
So when we brought the tree home, the parents, usually the mom would always grab the boxes and boxes of baubles and whatnot, and she would hand it to each of us kids so we could decorate the tree. And a lot of them were homemade, and a lot of them were, you know, from kindergarten classes, and so it was a very personalized, not pretty, but very intimate tree. So it was definitely our tree, and very few bought shiny decorations on the tree, but always either the angel on the top, usually an angel on top of the tree, maybe a star, but lots and lots of lights.
Yeah, it's like most of the decorations I've got, they all link to some sort of memories. It's like, you know, it's like either those were bought when my mum and my dad came to visit, like one of our first Christmas in the UK, or these are like the one that my mum made. So it's like when I put the, you know, when I get round to put the tree, it's like it takes ages because I pick something and it's like it brings up memories of like my family, or which is quite nice. So that's like the one part that I quite like about putting up the tree, is all of these. So we have tried to get like different things, or if we go somewhere, so when we went to Japan, we bought something that was like, it wasn't a Christmas decoration, but it was like, this is going to be on our tree every year, and that would be like from Japan. And then we bought some very similar one to give to my brother, one of my brother with whom I'm really close, so they've got kind of the same one. And that's quite the part I quite like about Christmas. It's like the link I get from looking at it for my family that I obviously can't see.
So your Christmas tree is almost a photo album.
Yeah, in a way.
That's awesome.
That's really nice, because then you can add to it each and every year, or sometimes you'll come across something and go, I'm just going to put that on the tree. That looks all right there. It suits it. Let's go with that. And then it's there forever then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. And I even have some that some of my pupil gave me. Like sometimes school kids give you like the weirdest gift, or if, especially if you're a form tutor. And I'm not anymore, but I used to be a form tutor. And I have like two or three that were just things that some of my kids gave. And it was like, ooh, that's actually to put in the tree. So every year I put that, and I think about that kid that I had in my form like 10 years ago now. It's quite weird. It's like,
that's cool.
It's there. It's that's nice. Cool. In a way, it's nicer than a box of chocolate, because a box, you know, box of chocolate, you've got that instant gratification. But those like two or three that I've got from kids at school, then I will think about those kids every year when I put them on the Christmas tree, until one of my dog breaks it, obviously. Which is possible.
Yes. Yes. In both of your chats, I've put a picture. I don't know if you guys can see that or not.
Yes.
Hang on.
Shiny foiled decoration things.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. God, yes. Okay.
So these are very 80. This isn't my front room. Trust me, this is not my front room.
Oh, lordy.
But these are what you would have had in the 80s in my house. That's what my front room ceiling would have looked like. So it is like some plasticky, foily type snowflake. It's very, very, very 80s. Chintzy, I think they say.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty.
It's not. It's hideous.
I was trying to be nice.
It's absolutely hideous. But we don't have any of these anymore, thank goodness.
Did they
That's
break?
That's all you say.
Yeah, they're going to come back and haunt me at some point, aren't they? I know that. But we don't have them, but that's what we had. And at the time, when you're a kid, when you go to school one day and then your mum and dad have decorated the house and you come back and you're like, oh, all the stuff's up. And it doesn't matter that it looks crap. It didn't look crap at the time, but now looking back on it, it probably looks crap. But you're like, that's Christmas. The house has been Christmas-fied now. It's brilliant.
Now you know it's a special occasion.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. My grandparents used to have tinsel for their tree that they actually took off every year and saved for the next year. It was like heavy. I assume it was expensive at the time. It was probably full of lead. But it kind of reminds me of this.
All the kids got smacked around the head. Don't lick that.
Yeah, that's the one thing that really, I think I could say, shocked me when I first had my first Christmas in the UK, because it's so much more overt than what we do in France. Mm-hmm. It's like in France, we do have a Christmas tree and it's decorated, but we don't put like, well, at least in my family, but I don't think most French family, I think most French family would be the same as mine. We don't put like things all over the house. It's just like, it's, to me, it was crazy. I mean, when I went to Carl's parents for the first time for Christmas, it was like, oh my Lord, what is this? It's just like, it's scary. And then walking around Birmingham around Christmas with people with Christmas hats in the street and fake Fanta beer. It's just like, I could not believe it. It's just like, that was not happening in France back then. Maybe it is now, God knows, because everybody in the world seems to be doing the same thing. But that to me was shocking. It's just like, it was so much in your face. Literally, I think it's what you can say. It's like Christmas in the UK compared to France. And I take it in the US, so much in your face. It's like the decorations on the houses and like the lights outside and thing like that. It's like, oh Lordy. Like you didn't see that in France when I was a kid. Never.
I understand
in the, you know, in Canada and part of the US when there's a lot of snow, all those lights is quite nice and, you know, it just like make a horrible bleak winter seems nicer. Mm-hmm. But I was like, yeah, you're not gonna see lights on my house. I'm sorry. No. I'm too French still.
You don't even hang up Christmas lights, even one strand?
I put some around my tree. I've got some on my bar. I've got a Christmas bar. But I'm not gonna put tinsel all around the banister of my, all around the banisters in the stair and thing like that. And she's like, no.
No, I don't like the tinsel around the banister.
Oh, thank God. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't tend to like it either. But we always had Christmas lights hanging up on our, you know, around the gutter area, around the roof line.
Yep.
And, really?
Oh, yeah. Always, okay. Always. And
yeah, but it's an American thing, isn't it? It was an American thing before people in the UK started to copy what you see on American film.
So you guys didn't used to hang up lights on the outside of the house?
No, I don't think the UK received waterproof lighting until maybe 2000, maybe. People still did it. We've never been a family where we put lights outside the house.
That's so weird.
Well, we would put lights in the window so you could see them from the street and around the window. So, and then you'd be sat there trying to watch the TV and you have this bzz, 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 like close the flipping curtains, and you close curtains, and then just the whole curtain just goes whoa, 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 whoa. So we would put them around the window, but I've always wanted to be able to go outside and put them around the gutter in and make it look really nice and pretty. Yeah. Very much like, is it like Deck the Halls or something like that? That film with Danny DeVito, I think it is, where they just cover their whole house in lights. But I wouldn't go too crazy, but I'd love to be able to do it outside. We can't afford it to do it this year, but I would love to build up to actually putting hooks ready for the year and just put all the lights up and then bring it all down in January.
Mm-hmm. That seems so normal to me. Of course you do that.
Do you do it now then?
No, I never did that. My dad did that. That was my dad's job. He'd pull the ladder out of the garage and he'd hang up the lights every year.
I bet it was a thing as well, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, so nice.
And we always tried to help, you know, the little kids, because we would try to untangle the lights if they got tangled up and probably just annoyed the crap out of them. But we had fun.
Do you guys, as like the Shonky Lab official American family, did you all stand back and then hold a plug in one hand and like the socket in the other hand and push it together and everyone go, ooh?
No. Aww. No, we didn't. That's Chevy Chase's family. That's not ours. You're getting us mixed up, but it's okay. We're both American. It's fine. No. No, but my grandfather, when one light was out and his Christmas lights, none of them would work. So he'd have to go through and replace it, each one, until they started working again.
Oh, yes. Gold.
Yeah. But they worked every year. Go, Grandpa.
Awesome. Well, at least it kept him busy for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite good.
I think so.
I suppose.
I hated them Christmas lights.
Oh, no.
Because you had the fuse one, didn't you? Mm. You had the fuse light. Mm-hmm. And if that went, then the whole string would go.
Yeah.
And then you would replace that, and then you'd find one or two bulbs that are gone. And then you have to go down to the hardware store to find the correct bulbs. And then there's a million types of bulbs. Thank goodness for LEDs now.
Yeah. Yes.
Goodness.
Now, yeah, I do remember spending time checking every single little bulb type things on our lights that we would put around the tree. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Now, I have a tradition, or we had a tradition when we were kids, which I would love to do in the UK. So I'm going to tell you about that tradition, because that is like one of my most cherished tradition about Christmas, but I've not been able to do it in the UK, but soon I will, one day. Because of COVID, I can't, but I will soon. Now, in France and my family, we were Christians, so having a nativity scene was quite important in my family. And my dad was from the south of France, so from the area of Provence. And in the Provence area, the nativity scene is made with what we call santons, which are like little clay characters. And the one we may not have had advent calendar, but we had something that I thought was much better, because I didn't know about chocolate calendar type thing back then. But at the beginning of December, we would all go to the forest close to the village where I grew up, and we would collect a lot of moss. And then we had like a really long sideboard in one of the corridors. I lived in a big house, and we had a big, like a long corridor, and we had a long sideboard for a good part of the corridor. And we would create kind of a landscape on that sideboard. So we would have like lots of shoe boxes that we would put, and then we would have some craft paper that we would cover the whole lot. And then we would put the moss, and we would put like use some foil to make a river. And it was like really cool. Wow. So we had like a whole model, and then we had like with the Santon, we had like loads of little houses. So like the Becker House and the Wheel Mill. And the, so you could create a village from the south of France. So we would have like our village. And of course you would have the barn where Mary would give birth to baby Jesus. So you would have like the barn at one side of the landscape, and then in the beginning of December, you would have Joseph and Mary on completely the other side of the sideboard, and you would have all the characters from the village around, and then every day coming back from school, we would move Jesus, we would move Mary and Joseph closer to the barn.
That's wicked.
On Christmas Day, on Christmas Eve, they would have reached the barn, and then during the night, my mum would put baby Jesus in the manger. Oh. And that was really cool. It's one of my most cherished memory. Now, that when both my parents passed away, and my mum was only a few years ago. So I've got five brothers and sisters. So when we went through all the stuff in the house, I went, can I have the nativity scene? And they went, yeah, of course you can. But it's stuck in France right now. It's one of my brothers. And because it's quite big. It's like a big box with all the different houses and all the different characters. And I can't do it because I haven't been able. Mum did it until like the last year of her life. They had like a nativity scene in the house. I'm pretty sure they didn't go and get moss, but she still had a bit of a nativity scene. And I'm becoming emotional. I'm sorry. And so now it's mine, but it's stuck at my brother's. And because of stupid COVID, I've not been to France for the last 2 years. So they go like, they're waiting for you. It's like, you can come and collect them when you want. And when, I want to, but I can't come, really.
Wow.
So, but one day I will have that freaking nativity scene. And I know exactly where I'm going to put it in my house, in my front window, because we've got like one of those bay window thing with like a big shelf. So it'd be perfect. I know exactly where I want to put it. But I can't do it for the moment. But that possibly is my best, like, decoration tradition type thing for Christmas.
All right. I am grudgingly admitting that that is just a little bit cooler than the advent calendar.
Sorry?
That is a little bit cooler than the advent calendar. I admit it.
Yeah, I think so. But we didn't have chocolate, though.
Yeah, well, you know.
I love that idea. I think that's brilliant. Mm.
That is
it
cool.
was lovely. And I'm pretty sure a lot of French families still do that.
Yeah.
It just like, because the Santon things are, you know, really a big thing in the south of France. I'll try to see if I can find some pictures so I can show you and share them. So that's one of my like decoration tradition. I'll talk to you about other tradition after if you want.
No, it's fine. I think the closest I came to that is, I swear one of my family had one of the nativity scenes and I ended up putting my C-3PO in there.
I hope not as a wise man.
I think he was like a shepherd or something like that.
Okay.
Although he's fluent in 6 million forms of communication, so he would be quite wise.
Well, but the ability to speak does not make one wise.
It makes him foolhardy, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay, we didn't have anything like that growing up, but before I moved here, I went to a church who went all out on the nativity scene. So they actually brought in a load of dirt and they converted their parking lot to Jerusalem. So there was a blacksmith and there was a place that would show you myrrh and frankincense and stuff. And they brought in camels and animals and stuff. And once a night they would have a whole procession with Mary leading or Joseph leading a donkey with Mary on it. And it was amazing. They just went all out. It was a whole thing. But that was only, I've only gone to that twice. That wasn't every year.
No, well, just converting like a parking lot for that as well. That's above and beyond, isn't it? That's full scale type thing.
That is big.
It was.
Did they bring like farmyard animals in as well?
I know they had sheep and camels and a donkey, at least one donkey. I can't remember anything else, but they had pens and they had they set up like a little pottery thing where you could make your own little pottery, and just they tried to make it old Jerusalem. And then they had centurion soldiers walking around. It was awesome.
Really? Oh, that sounds awesome as well. I'd love to do something like that.
Yeah, a whole community thing.
So I think out of all three of us, I'm the only one who hasn't spent Christmas out of the UK.
Oh.
I've never been in it. I've been to my cousins and stayed over theirs. They were some of the...
And where's your cousin?
Southampton. That's a
I thought you were going to say like Scotland or Wales.
No, Southampton.
It's still part of the UK.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I've got a question. What are the little paper crowns about? I'd never seen these outside of a movie until I came here.
Sorry, what did you say?
The little paper crowns.
Oh, yeah, I don't get that either. Explain to us, Elton.
In crackers, you mean?
Yeah, because we didn't do crackers either. That's new to me.
Yeah, we didn't do crackers either.
Okay, I don't understand why we have crackers or paper crowns or anything. They were one thing I didn't really like about the Christmas thing, because I didn't like wearing the hat. As everyone should know by now, I don't like dressing up and then putting a silly hat on my head for no reason whatsoever. I just couldn't do it. And I was forced every bloody year. Oh, no, aww, mine's torn. Oh, what a shame. Oh, look, mum's got a spare one. Oh, great. Still have to wear one, don't I? That's great.
That's it. It's like I've learned very quickly at Carl's parents, if I put the paper crown forcibly on my head, it torn, and then I couldn't wear it. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. Oh, oh no. What a shame.
And they go, have another crack at night.
No, the moment's gone.
I'm good.
But I don't understand why we have – it's just one of them things where we have – I think a couple of years ago you put something on Facebook about not having any crackers. And yeah, actively participating in no crackers because it's just a waste of crap, really. It's a waste of resources and a waste of plastic and a waste of paper, and it all goes into the bin and it just goes into a landfill and it's just a waste.
Yeah.
And you said you were going to abscond from that sort of stuff, and I totally agree, because I like the little snap that you get, if you get the snap, and the little crappy toy. Yeah, okay, it's fun, it's part of it, but it's very wasteful. So I'm like, I could deal without them. But I don't understand where it comes from or what, but we've always had crackers. I think last couple of years we haven't, but we always had them around the family table and crossed over and did it over the foods, and the little toy would fall out of it and land in the gravy or on the turkey or something like that, and everyone would laugh, and you end up with either like a real small, you end up with like a golf tee, some nail scissors if you're lucky, a very tiny notebook, and all these little things, and some sort of like metal puzzle that you have to like twist and get these two bits of metal apart, you know. Great. I'm now 43. I've had 43 turns of doing crackers. I'm kind of fed up with these tiny little toys, so I
but they're not for you, Elton. They're for your children.
But when you don't have children.
But do you have children?
I do have now, yes.
Okay.
But
see, Andy and I don't have to do these.
Yeah, hopefully I'm instilling the grumpiness of myself into the kids.
Is that your Christmas tradition?
Yes, that is. Grr, yes.
Humbug.
Yeah. Bah, humbug.
What I find quite funny is like a lot of people buy their crackers like a few days after Christmas so they can use them the following year, because it's like they're super expensive when you think about what you get. And then like 2 or 3 days after Christmas, they're really cheap. So I know quite a lot of people who just go, eh, we buy them for next year.
Yeah. Then they go in the loft.
And then they forget about it. Yeah. Possibly. I don't know. Tell me, Christmas food. Do you have any, what do you eat? When you were a kid compared to now, are you eating the same food? What's your go-to Christmas meal?
Go on, Amber.
I don't remember Christmas dinner being a thing. Nobody wants to cook on Christmas. So we usually either had leftovers or pizza or something like that because, you know, the meal was at the family gathering and that was usually not on Christmas Day itself. It was on the lead up too. So no, there was nothing in particular. I mean, 'cause Thanksgiving is our food holiday. Christmas was more about the presents.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was a baking time of the year. So my grandmother would go crazy making sugar cookies and peanut butter balls and almond roca, and the kitchen always smelled like sugar. It was amazing. Amazing. Yes.
And when do you celebrate Christmas? Because that's quite different from, do you know when we celebrate Christmas?
The 25th?
No. Oh. No, the 24th.
Oh.
We celebrate it on Christmas, like the family gathering and the present opening. It's like on the 24th in the evening.
This is in France, yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and in my household in the UK.
What do you do on the 25th?
We just rest and actually eat leftovers from the Réveillon de Noël. Because, okay, so in France, like traditionally, it would be you have like a snack in the afternoon. And then you go to the midnight mass, which is really from 10 until 12. Then you get home. And then you have like le réveillon de Noël. You have like a 2 or 3 hour meal in the middle of the night. And you open the gift after the meal. And then you go to sleep. And then the following day, you just like play with your toys and lounge around and eat leftovers and that's it. It's just like, but the big thing in France, so yeah, again, my experience of Christmas is you do the celebration, you meet with the family and so on the 24th in the evening, and you have that really nice late meal in the evening after mass, usually.
Incredible. I've never heard that.
And it's so cool. And it's like the kids would go, like most of the time when we were like tiny, we would go to bed when the parents go to mass and someone would look after us. And then we'll come back. And of course, we wouldn't have slept because we were waiting for the gift. And then we would be like super excited, open some of the gift. I'm pretty sure we were opening gift the following morning as well. But like the biggest gift or the thing like that was the night before. We didn't have the sock, the
stocking.
Yeah. We don't do that.
No stocking?
Yeah.
Ugh, you missed out.
I'm very tempted to cut you off right now.
What? It's not my fault. I'm just saying we didn't get advent calendar nor stockings. That's not my fault.
No, I know. Christmas, on the 25th morning, let's say around about 6:30 in the morning, what would you guys be doing?
We would be sleeping because we would have been partying all night long before and go to bed at 3 or 4 in the morning.
So I have to ask a question. Do you have Father Christmas / Santa / Little Saint Nick?
Yeah, Père Noël.
Père Noël,
Father Christmas.
And when does he pop his head around through your chimneys?
When the parents were at the midnight mass. So before we had the meal, or while we were having the meal. And then all of a sudden, gifts were there.
Wow.
Right. Oh, okay.
That sounds very sneaky.
You don't have the problem of get to sleep.
Jumping on your bed at 6 a.m. No, because they
go to sleep right now. Otherwise, Christmas is cancelled because I need to wrap up these presents. Please go to bed now. Be quiet.
Who waits until Christmas Eve to wrap the Christmas presents?
I have done before, yes.
Why does this not surprise me, I suppose?
Amber, what about you? Describe your 6:30 in the morning, Christmas morning type thing.
Oh, yes. There's always one of us who wakes up first, and it's somewhere between 6 and 6:30, and wake up, it's Christmas, everybody! And we all rush to the tree and are yelling until the grown-ups wake up, and then we can't touch anything until the grown-ups have dragged themselves out of bed, made themselves coffee, and we're so impatient, but we have to wait for them. And then we all sit around the tree, and one of the parents goes through and hands out a present each, then we open it, and then they hand out another present each, and we open it, and that way everybody's opening at the same time, and it's, you know, semi-orderly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, because my Christmases have been, I've had Christmases as a kid and Christmases as a parent, and there is that beautiful transition when I first moved out of my house into my own house with Amanda. And it was that moment of putting the stockings up. You're like, oh, I'm Father Christmas now, aren't I? And that was a magical moment. That was brilliant. Aww. But as a kid, I remember getting extremely excited on Christmas Eve and being fidgety and not being able to do anything, and then going to bed and not being able to sleep, and then pretending you're asleep when your mum and dad are bringing in the stocking to put on the end of your bed, and getting excited, and then you rush downstairs or you burst into your mum and dad's bedroom, and they're like, oh God, is it already the morning? And doing all that. And
your stocking was left on your bed?
Yeah. Okay. So my mum and dad would bring a stocking and lay it at the foot of our bed instead of around the fire. We had a gas fire, and so you couldn't really make believe that sort of thing. And we kind of knew anyway. So it's just, look, we know you know. We're going to play along. You get a stocking, but it's going at the end of your bed. And it was brilliant because if you woke up in the middle of the night and you could feel it. So my mum and dad would walk in as quietly as they could. I'd be tucked up in bed, rolled over the other way so they couldn't see my eyes. My eyes squinting shut. So I wouldn't be able to see anything. So I look like I'm really asleep. And they would lay this across the end of my bed and you'd feel it go down. You're like, oh, it's there. The stocking's there. So they would walk out and then you'd wait for the hall light to go off. Then the hall light goes off. You're like, okay. Then you hear their bedroom light go off and it all goes quiet. And then you're like, you push your foot down underneath covers and you're like, try and touch the stocking. You're like, oh, there's something there. It's there. You lift it up. You're like, okay, right, I'll give it 5 minutes and then I'll break it out.
and then you would attack it. And your parents listen to you trying to, as quietly as you can, go through your stocking.
Yeah. They must have been like, into bed. 10 minutes, and see you in the morning. Yeah, okay, right. Probably be about 6. That bloody hell, and I'll probably wake up at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Yeah, okay, all right, anyway. And then they just lay down, close their eyes, and all they can hear from the other room is.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But yeah, that would be my morning. But with the kids, sometimes we get away from you, especially when you're two parents working and trying to get things ready to go. And there have been a couple of nights where it's gone on until about 1 o'clock in the morning, wrapping stuff up, ready for it. And you're like, well, I don't know why I'm wrapping this. In 10 minutes, it's going to be ripped open, isn't it? But you do it, and then trying to sneak it in and putting it down. And Kimmy's one's got bells on it as well, which is really frustrating. Oh,
that was poor planning on your part.
Yeah, that was a bad. I wish I'd cut them off. But there have been mornings where I've got to bed about 3. And you just think, oh, I'm just going to lay down now. And I'll have 2 hours nap, but I'll be revitalized. It'll be just enough to give me that pep until the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you've got kids like walking in. Once I think Kimmy walked in about 4 o'clock.
Oh, God.
I was like, Whoa. Okay, do you have your stock in there? Yeah, he's been. I got my stock in. Okay, well, open one or two of that. And then please just let me have a bit more sleep.
Okay. So what was in your stockings?
Oh, okay. So Odie, well, you didn't have stockings, did you?
No, we didn't.
Okay. So my stocking as a kid, it would normally have a Beano annual.
What is that?
Do you know the Beano comic?
I know.
No.
No, okay. I'll let you Google that later. That, but okay. At the end of the year, they have an annual book. And so I'd normally have the Beano annual in my stocking. And then you would have...
That like was a big stocking.
It was a fairly big one, yeah.
You'd wide, have like anyway.
A chocolate orange. You'd have... Did you just go, that chocolate orange?
I did.
Oh, what's the matter with the chocolate orange?
It is a British thing.
It's a pairing of tastes I really cannot stand. I do not get the English love of that terry orange thing that you snap on the table so it falls like little orange. I just don't get it. Sorry.
I had, this is a side tangent, sorry, but I was introduced to Costa this week, and my work colleague bought me a Terry's chocolate orange hot chocolate from there.
How was it?
It was gorgeous.
No,
it was awesome.
How have you not had Costa before now?
It was magical, honestly. I was a bit disappointed they didn't get a whole chocolate orange and melt it down and mix it with milk. And they just use this syrup type thing, but it still tasted exactly the same. And it was wicked. Loved it.
More for you.
Yeah.
I am happy for you.
What else would I normally have? It'll be like pencils and pens and rulers and all little nitpicks and some little tutty bits as well. Just stocking filler crap. Maybe a pack of cards or a wiggly snake type thing, some sort of popper, and I can't really remember exactly what I would get, but the main presents would all be downstairs. I remember once I did get an action figure. I got my very first Star Wars figure in my in my stocking, and that was my Luke Skywalker. Nice. That I still have today.
Nice.
That's a good one.
It was nice little stuff, nice friendly little stuff, not too overpriced or anything like that. I think the annual was the biggest thing that I would get in there.
So what about you, Amber? What did you get in your stocking?
It was mostly candy. So a lot of Reese's, a lot of little chocolate eggs. But yeah, little presents.
Idea, why aren't you turning your nose up at her chocolate?
She didn't say her shoes, did she?
No, I didn't. But that was in there too.
The Hershey Kisses. That's fine then.
Yeah. Hershey Kisses, they were in there too, I know. But you know, when you don't know any better, that's the best chocolate you've ever had, and it's better than no chocolate.
Yes.
True. Yeah.
So I can't even defend it. It's bad. But that's not the point.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, little
Elton present. Trying to bring discord here.
No.
Right. Little like little costume jewelry when I was little, so like plastic rings or clip-on earrings and little pretend like makeup, like lipstick and stuff, and you know, girly stuff. Couple of little toys. It was every once in a while some money, like a couple bucks here and there.
Oh wow. Was,
yeah.
Nice.
It was fun.
So, in fact, like your stocking was a lot like the leftover of Halloween candies.
Yeah. I mean, most of them had Santa rather than skeletons, but it's possible they could have thrown in some leftover Halloween in there. Yeah. We didn't get enough chocolate from our advent calendars, so they had to add more into the stockings.
Can I just go quickly back to the advent calendars? Oh, dear, I know you didn't have the advent calendar, but you had
something better, I'll tell you.
Yeah, you had awesome nativity thing. That sounds brilliant. Yeah,
but chocolate-wise, we had something better in my family, I'll tell you, after you talked about your advent calendar.
But, Amber, so you would have my equivalent would be like just a cheap chocolate thing. At the moment, I think we have like a Cadbury's chocolate one, but I prefer the cheap chocolate that comes out the advent calendars. And I would never, never eat further than where I was at the moment. Never, honestly, I've never done that. My brother did. I know my mum caught him raiding his one. I couldn't do it. That's the rules. You can't break the rules.
I think my
otherwise you go on the naughty list.
Yeah.
I think my hope in my little child brain was, if I eat them all now, they're going to have to get me another one. Otherwise, I won't have anything for the next week or two. So I need you to get me another one. I don't remember if it ever happened. I don't remember. So probably not. I think I would remember that. But no. But that was my thought.
Chocolate-wise. Mm-hmm. Chocolate-wise, what we used to do, but it wasn't like for the full of December, but it's another of my memory, like tradition. We used to make our own truffles, like chocolate truffles. Mm. And there would be like one afternoon where my mum would make us make the truffles, so like melt the chocolate and mix it with the butter and whatever, the sugar. And then you had to wait for it to harden. And then we would all like take our like a spoon and then get a bit of the hardened chocolate and then roll it in a truffle shape. And then you had cacao powder and then like either bitter one or sweet one. And then you would roll them in there and then put them in lovely plates and try not to eat half of them while you were making them. But it's like a really nice memory of making the truffle with my brother and my sister and eat a lot of truffles and then feel very, very sick the following day.
That's why you guys had Christmas Day off, isn't it?
Well, yeah, too. But we have like a lot of really nice Christmas food. It's like for me, the truffles are one of them. And like making it was like really part of the tradition. Mm. And then the marzipan fruit, again, that's more the south of France, but marzipan fruit and like using marzipan. And we had to use food coloring to color the marzipan. And then you would put them with some dry fruit and like make a whole plate of marzipan fruit. So like in some of them was using dates and others were plums and other glacé cherries. And we would make all those lovely little sweet type things. Mm. We still had like big boxes of chocolate that you'd never find those in England. That's another thing I miss. But so we would make those dessert kind of things, homemade dessert.
I've never heard of marzipan fruit before. That's really interesting.
Sorry?
I've never heard of marzipan fruit before. Did you make your own marzipan or did you buy it or how did that work?
So you would buy we would buy the marzipan.
Okay.
And then sometimes you can buy it already colored. Mm-hmm. So like pink and the green and or mum would buy food coloring. And then you would put some drops and then mix the marzipan so you get the color. And then you'll make like you take a little piece of marzipan, really not much, and then you had those either fruits, so yeah, walnut as well. So you would like sandwich a bit of the marzipan between two half of walnuts and or put like make a little marzipan pillow and put the glacé cherry or half a glacé cherry on top, and so you would create a lot of like little kind of sweets type thing, but made of marzipan and dried fruits.
I'm going to have to look that up. Yeah. Interesting.
It's really, really nice. But the one thing that I guess was a bit like the advent calendar, but without numbers. And in France, you could buy big boxes of chocolate, but I mean big, like you would have 150 chocolate in those boxes, like huge one. Usually the cover would be the reproduction of a famous painting. So, and you could buy, I mean, my mum would always buy like 4 or 5 boxes, and then every day would be, okay, you can have a chocolate from the box. And then you would spend like 10 minutes looking at all the chocolate and asking when we were small, or reading when we were able to read, all the different possibility of chocolate, you know, like, because it would be loads of different chocolate with different flavors or things like that. But imagine a box of easily 150 chocolate in there. And then you would like eat the one you prefer, but we were allowed like just like one a day.
Yeah.
And we would eat those boxes throughout the month. So I think that was our own kind of advent calendar. Wait.
But 150, that's like 7 a day until Christmas. That's even better than an advent calendar.
That was like, yeah, but no, but that's to share within the family. But we had more than one box. I'm going to try to see. Like, have you seen the Santon? The link about the Santon.
No, did you
have a look? You'll see what I mean by that. But I'll see whether I can find a Boîte de Chocolat de Noël.
You know, I had never heard of mince pies until I got here.
Oh God, me neither.
Right? When somebody said mince pie, I was so confused because the only mince in America is meat. It's mince meat. So I didn't understand meat pie. I was like, ooh, that doesn't sound good.
I think the tradition is from years and years ago. And it was, would it be like a peasant food where they just get all of their food together? And they would have leftover meats, or maybe fresh meats, but meats and then wines and then fruits. And that would be all smushed into one pot, boiled up for maybe 12 hours, and then served. It's very much like a...
it sounds very British.
Christmas pudding. Yeah, it's very cheap and easy. It's leftovers thrown all together, cooked, and it... I've never tried it, but I think I saw it on a TV program very recently where it was like, oh, maybe that's where mince meat comes from or mince pies come from, because that's where the mince is. I may be getting that completely wrong, but that's what I saw on TV. So I believe the TV because that doesn't lie to me. And it did look good. And the person tasting it did put on a very good show of, wow, this is actually really good. It's imagine Rachel's trifle when she tries to make a trifle in Friends.
Oh, gross. Yeah.
Where it's ladyfingers and jam and then peas and fresh meat and stuff like that. And,
and whipped cream. And
I wasn't supposed to put meat into the trifle. I think it's that kind of thing. I think that's where it gets its name from. And now it's just fruits and some sort of sticky stuff that binds it all together. But they are adorable. I love them so much.
They are cute.
Yeah, it and miss with me. It really, sometimes I love them, other times I don't. And it really depends on how it was made. And it's just like, it really depends where it comes from. And I can like it or not. It's really hit and miss.
Okay, so what about the main meal itself then? So, Adil, you said you had yours at a crazy time of midnight on the 24th of December. What would you be sitting down to?
So we would first have aperitif, of course. So, and the aperitif could take ages. So you would have like a lot of canapés, so smoked salmon on like little toast. Like we would have like little pieces of pain de mie, which is a bit like the British normal sliced bread, but slightly sweeter, and it's not the kind of bread we normally eat. So it's like we would have like canapé, so smoked salmon, fake caviar, like it's called œuf de lamp, but it's like fish roe type thing, foie gras. So you'll have like loads of canapés and nuts and things like that while you have a drink or two.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously not the children to drink. They would have like something, maybe a little bit of cider for the children, or watered down wine possibly. And then you would have a starter. Often it'd be oysters or foie gras again, if it wasn't used in canapé. And then you would have a main course. So the main course either could be the turkey with a chestnut, kind of a turkey and chestnut type thing, or a nice roast or something like that with some vegetable on the side. And then you'll have cheese, of course, and then you'll have la bûche de Noël, which is like a Christmas Christmas log.
Yeah.
And that would be it, and that would take about 3 hours to eat easily.
My mouth is watering. Wow. Just listening to that. What about yourself, Amber? What would you guys be sitting down to eat?
I don't know, pizza, maybe?
You've already had it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay. While you're sitting down to your pizza, oh, you'll probably go out to the Super Bowl or something like that, wouldn't you?
No, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving they play football.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, you're down the cinema.
Yes.
On Christmas Day, yeah.
Yes.
I would be sitting down to, so it would be a turkey. It'll be a turkey with all the trimmings, or you'd have all your parsnips and potatoes and, I don't know, other things as well, beans, and there will always be Brussels sprouts. I never have them. They've been cooking since March as well, just so they are just soft enough for you to bite into, but no, maybe some broccolis and stuff like that. But the turkey would have all the bacon on it and all the stuffing in it, and it'll be just brilliant. And sometimes there'll be like a side meat, maybe like a, it wouldn't be pork, might be some beef there as well, which is really nice. But it would be like the traditional sit-down roast. And then we would have the mince pies, and then we would have crackers and cheese and stuff like that. And then you'd also have Christmas cake or chocolate logs as well. And my mum makes the best Christmas cake. My nan used to make best Christmas cake as well. And my mum makes a chocolate log. It's now like Swiss rolls, like the chocolate Swiss rolls, but stuffed together and then iced again. So it is, it's a heart attack waiting to happen, basically.
That's the best kind.
Oh, yeah. And then she would get like a little bit of marzipan and make a little robin and put it on the top. You'd be like, oh, that was really good. And then you'd eat him.
Of course.
But that would be it. And it would, that food, you'd have your plate full, and then you'd have like your afters, and then it'd all get cleared away. You'd do all the washing up, and then all the cheeses and all the crackers would come out with all the cakes and stuff. And that would fill up the table again.
Is the Christmas cake the one you set on fire?
No, that is, that is Christmas pudding that you set on fire.
Oh,
and okay. I've never done that.
Oh.
It's been done in front of me. I've never actually done it myself. I don't know what to pour on it. I know it's some sort of...
Isn't it brandy?
No. Oh, is it brandy?
It's brandy.
Right. Okay.
You should do that this Christmas.
I think I will do.
Yeah.
But
Don't burn down the new house.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'll pour it on there and be like, what else can I pour brandy on and set on fire? Brilliant. but then the problem with that table, once you've cleared out your main meal and then it's been replaced with all like the sweets and the chocolates and the cakes and all the mince pies. You then spend the next 3 days sitting down, standing up, and as you pass this table, you just take something. So you'll go, let's say, I nip up to the little boy's room. I come downstairs. I've washed my hands. It's all good. And I'm passing this table. You're like, I think I'll treat myself to a mince pie. And so you take that and you go sit down. You're watching the TV and chatting and you're playing the board games. And then you stand up and you go to get a drink and you walk past this table again. And you're like, I think I'll have one of these. And by the end of it, you've had so much. And then you kind of go into some sort of weird coma. So then the next 3 days, you're just trying to get through all of this stuff. It's so nice, though.
Yes. Mm. It's once a year. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I wish it was once a year, but yes, it is once a year.
Okay, now what about in the lead up to Christmas? Because my grandmother would play us Christmas movies from like the 14th all the way to Christmas.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Like, do you, the old claymation, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the Island of Misfit Toys and the animated one, like Frosty the Snowman, these mm-hmm. kind of things?
The only thing I can think of from that is I know, is it Scrooge McDuck? Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so the Christmas Carol with Scrooge?
Yeah, basically, yes. I flipping love. I actually watched that the other day. That is still great. It's still so good.
That's awesome.
But nowadays we tend to watch some movies. We get all the Home Alones and the Die Hards in because it feels weird on Boxing Day watching Home Alone and Die Hard. You can't do it. It doesn't feel right. They are Christmas Eve, Christmas Day movies, and Polar Express. But I don't really remember much from the childhood.
No,
on the build up. Oh dear. What about yourself?
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but I don't think TV was as important when we were kids growing up. So I don't remember much about what we were watching when we were kids. To be honest,
did you guys have a TV schedule, like magazine type thing?
Yeah, we did. And I'm sure we had like a double issues over the Christmas, like the British one, whichever TV Times used to do that.
Yeah.
Like the big, but I really don't remember. I'm trying to think about what we were watching on TV, but I can't. I'm pretty sure there must have been like some sort of game show that was happening. I've got a vague memory of kind of a game show that would be happening over Christmas, but I may just be making it up.
Yeah.
Right now. I don't know. I can't remember.
Amber, did you have anything similar to that?
Yeah, we had the TV guide.
Yep.
And it was just every week, I think, and they would deliver and they'd show what shows are on each channel. And my grandfather always, that was his domain, and he'd go in and he'd circle or he'd highlight and he'd choose what he wanted to watch, and then everybody else could work around his schedule.
Yeah. There was that. Like, again, we would have planned what to watch, but like you mentioned, like Die Hard and Home Alone and things like that, and I just don't remember. I'm pretty sure we had a lot of American shows as well, like American films or things like that. But I'm very fuzzy on that.
Because we had the Radio Times, and I know this has been mentioned in every single Christmas episode that anyone who has done a podcast on, it has always been mentioned, but we did get the Radio Times and you would go through it and you would ring what you wanted to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only around Christmas time. And there was one year when Back to the Future was the big premiere on BBC One. And we all ringed it. It was like, no, we are all sitting down and watching Back to the Future on Christmas Day because it's going to be amazing. And it was. It just blew my mind. And it was the first time I'd ever seen it. And aww. I think we taped it off the TV and rewatched it again and again. But
cute.
We did get the Radio Times or TV Times or whatever it was for the last couple of years in the hope of, yeah, we'll sit down, we'll ring it. But we never did. We never did sit down and actually go through it, what we'd like to watch or anything like that. Because I think nowadays we just play it by ear. We sit down, we play a board game, or we if we feel like doing a board game or watching something, that's what we do now.
But also our relationship with TV is completely different, because if you don't watch something when it's on TV now, you've got it on download, you can, or on catch up or whatever. So you don't need to plan and go like, oh, this is going to be on at that time. We've got to be home for this. Because if you're not, you just either set it to record or have it on catch up. So that kind of a magic of Christmas and the planning, that it's not necessary anymore. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of sad in a way.
Yeah.
I think.
Would any of you guys venture to the pub on Christmas Day?
God, no.
That's so not American. Is that British? Would you do that, Elton?
Yes, we would now, yes.
To
and it's really, really nice.
On Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
See, Christmas is a family thing in France. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't go to the pub or no.
No, but all of our family, whoever's staying in our house this Christmas, we will all go to the pub for at least one drink, or hopefully we will do. We didn't do it last year and the year before as well. I don't think we did, but before then, we did. And it's just one, but you go down there and everyone's wearing all their new clobber. Oh, so you got a new jumper? Yeah, look, wearing my new jumper. Oh, you smell nice. Yep, Africa Lynx.
Oh, no.
Yep, everyone's wearing their new clobber. Everyone's got their new shoes on or whatever they want. But it's nice because then you get all the other families coming down who have just had their Christmas and are wearing all their new clobber. And it's like some of the kids have got their new toys and they're really happy and they're having a glass of lemonade while you have a pint. And it's good. And then because the food will be cooking while you're in there, so when you walk into the house, it's like, oh, it smells good.
See, we don't have pubs. We have bars, and children are not allowed in bars. So it wouldn't be a family thing if anybody popped down to the bar for a drink.
Yeah.
I think it's – and also what you're describing is more a kind of a village affair, isn't it? Do people really go to the pub with their family in a big town?
When I lived in London, in Plumstead, I know Amanda's family used to go to the pub. And so we'd follow them.
Again, it's their local pub.
It is their local pub, yeah.
So again, I think it's got that lovely British kind of a family or village type feel of, because you go to the pub and you're going to know some of the people there.
Yep. Oh, yeah, you will know people there, yes.
And that's it. So it's you're going to the pub, but also going to see people that you see at that pub regularly. So I think it's that kind of feeling. So, and yeah, we never did it in France, and well, not my family anyway. Yeah. Possibly people did though. Tell me, Boxing Day, that doesn't exist in France. So tell me about Boxing Day.
Oh, wow. Does it exist in America?
No, that's what Black Friday is for.
Oh yeah, you have it about a month before then, don't you? Yes.
Before Christmas, when it makes sense.
It does make sense, sales. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. So Boxing Day, I think in my life has changed. Boxing Day was just the day of, well, that was Christmas. Now what are you going to do? Play with your stuff. Do all the stuff that you've got as presents, and maybe go over and see grandparents and visit aunties and uncles. And so that's what Boxing Day was normally filled for. When I turned into like a teenager / early 20s, it was, oh, there are sales on. Let's go get some sales. And you didn't mind queuing up and fighting through the people because you were young and you had money from your parents or your aunts and uncles or your grandparents. So you could go Christmas out and spend money, that money. Yeah, Christmas money. Or your Christmas tips from your paper round or whatever. And yeah, I used to get quite a lot from that as well, which was nice.
Nice.
But as it's changed, yeah, it has changed. I can't see the appeal of going and queuing up in shops now on Boxing Day. It's hideous to me. Why would I want to do that on a lazy day? And nowadays it is for just going and seeing a family that we haven't seen or have arranged to see later on. So if we have my mum up this Christmas, then maybe we'll go see Amanda's mum or Amanda's sisters, or they might come over. And that's what these couple of days are about. Mm-hmm. And this year it's we have the weekend and then we have the 2 days after as well. Mm-hmm. As the bank holiday, so it's a nice long weekend. Mm. So we got nice four nice days on visiting family and friends, and that's what we're going to use them for. Yeah.
Well, now, my experience or my knowledge of Boxing Day comes back from Madame Lecuy. That was my first English teacher when I was 11 years old, and we had, of course, our lesson about Christmas in England. She didn't prepare me for the craziness that it would be, but we had a lesson about Christmas, and she mentioned Boxing Day, and she told us about what she thought was the origin of Boxing Day. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think she told us? What do you think she told us that Boxing Day was about traditionally, not the way we celebrate now? That's me turning into a teacher.
Yeah,
sorry.
You are, aren't you?
I can't help it, can I?
I'm guessing it was a boxing ring, like a fight.
Sorry?
Like a fight, you know, like boxing ring, like a boxer.
Nope. That's not what she told us.
I'm disappointed.
That would be a better one, actually, wouldn't it? Just go down to go down to the local field. All the hay bales are out and there's a little circle in the middle and we'll all have a little...
Yeah, fight. Work off some of that turkey that you had the night before.
Yeah.
After the goodwill of Christmas, go and beat each other up. Yeah, that makes sense.
You can only have so much good cheer and goodwill towards men before you have to hit somebody.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. I've gone 3 straight days without punching anyone. I've just seen my family. I need to get this out of me.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, that's not what she told us.
No.
What did she tell you then?
So she told us that it came from kind of the Victorian area, like Victorian time period. Do you know when you had like the bakers delivering food, the butcher bringing food to your house, and, you know, like, well, the upper class, obviously. And on Boxing Day, they would have like all those upper class houses would have like little boxes by their door. So when the delivery boy or woman or whoever would deliver whatever grocery for that day, they would get a box with their Christmas tip in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that's why it was called Boxing Day.
Cool.
That's what I was told. I don't know whether it's true.
That sounds very
British.
To us,
we wouldn't have done any better.
Yeah.
Now that sounds very, very British. So I sounds good to me.
Yeah. We don't have it. So maybe.
Now another thing I've heard, but I can't remember who told me, was like people on Boxing Day would take their gift to either their church or like the unwanted gift in boxes to the church or local goodwill place to give them there. So you kind of get rid of the unwanted gift and to re-gift them and give them to someone else. So that's the other version I've heard. But I think the tip in a box by the door wins it in my mind.
Yeah, no, that's very cool.
I think so too. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all the teaching for the day, done.
I learned something. I don't know if it's true or not, but I learned it.
In my head, I like to think that it's true.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Christmas caroling. Is that a thing in France?
Not going round to sing and get tapes or thing like that. No. We would sing hymns or thing like that, but not as much as I could see in England or in American movies.
Did you ever do it, Elton?
I've never done it. Yeah. No.
And have you ever had anybody come to your house?
We have once or twice, and it is quite nice, actually. Mm. But
because you feel you're in the Dickensian movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the Lord of the Manor.
I answer the door with my candle and my wee willy winky hat on. And I go, who's at my door at this time? we've had it a couple of times. It's really nice. In the village that we used to live in up until the end, start of this year, they have Christmas carols around the village tree, which is quite cool.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, it is actually.
So if you want to listen to the carolers, you go to them.
Yes, but everyone's like singing around it and someone's got the microphone as well. So you have like the village person who thinks that they're the best singer. And so they're singing the loudest and it's very tinny in their big speaker. But look, their heart's in the right place and it's quite nice. Mm. And actually, one year when I was there, I took a photo of it. And that appeared in the local paper.
No way.
Yeah, it did.
Oh,
yeah.
Well done.
I was like, oh, look at me. I should be a photographer. No, don't. I just got lucky. Photography is well easy. It's just point and click.
Right? Tell Andy
point
that.
Point and click.
I dare you.
Yeah. I'm going to get in so much trouble.
I was only in Christmas caroling once, and it was when I was really little, and I was just dragged around by my mom. But it was actually a lot of fun. I don't think we got paid or anything. We just went and sang in front of people's houses until they got cold and shut the door, and then we moved on.
Like in Gremlins.
I haven't seen that.
Amber, it seems to me that you just like going to people's houses.
I might, yeah.
That comes across, you know.
Would someone please take her? Please.
I don't think so, but possibly.
Well, that's two podcasts in a row where you told us about your love of going to people's houses and knocking on their door.
<You're right. laughs> Once I ask for candy, the other one I sing for them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Pay it forward.
We have nice people who just open their doors to random strangers. It's weird.
Okay, so we've been going a while now. So
yeah.
I want to ask one question of you each. And
great.
That is... When? Oh, sorry. Go on.
No. I was answering your question.
Oh, okay. Sorry. When you think of Christmas and you think of Christmas is past, is there one indelible memory that just pops? There's usually two or three that pop into my head from this, but is there one that you're like, I wish I could just go back to that time there? Is there one that you guys carry around with you?
I think for me, it was when I was about 19, 20, and when I had nieces and nephews, and it was seeing the joy in them. It's like I have like a really good memory of a Christmas where I was on the other side in a way, you know, where, like you said, when you had your first Christmas as a dad,
mm-hmm.
Obviously I don't have kids myself, but it was like getting the Christmas ready, helping my mum. I wasn't living at home anymore, so it was like just went back to my parents' house for the holidays and getting the things ready, and then seeing all those little nieces and nephews there, because they were all under five. And it's just like seeing how the little kids were reacting to Christmas.
Mm.
And yeah, it was like a good memory of my parents and my extended family in a way. So I think it, for me, it's that one more than anything else.
Awesome. Amber, do you have one at all?
I had a lot of really good Christmases growing up, and I had a lot more than, or twice as many as most kids, because my parents were divorced, so I got two every year. But I think my favorite was the Bethlehem one, where the whole Bethlehem recreation in the parking lot, because that was Christmas cosplay. That was amazing.
Awesome. I have a couple of memories knocking around. There's the memory of my nan bringing out two big black sacks for me and my brother, just full of presents. Not expensive stuff, but what they could afford. But it was just, there's your sack, there's your sack, Merry Christmas. It's like, oh, that's amazing. But there was also one where we travelled down to my cousin's and we stayed over on the day before Christmas Eve. And on Christmas Eve, I'd eaten far too many peanuts because I was getting way too excited and ended up throwing up in their house a couple of times. I got way too excited. And then Christmas morning came. And so there's a picture. I'll try and dig it out. I think I know where it is, but there's a picture of me sat in a chair because I was allowed to sit in the chair because I was feeling ill. I was just excited. I was overexcited. Every time I threw up, it was just peanuts, full peanuts as well, not even chewed. But there's a picture of me and my cousins on Christmas morning, and we all got the best toys. It was incredible. I ended up with an AT-AT. My cousin, she ended up with a like a Cindy or a Barbie tower type thing, and everyone got exactly what they wanted. It was just the best moment, and that was like my mum and my dad and my aunt and my uncle and all my cousins. It was like brilliant, and their house was beautiful, decked out really nice. It was just like the quintessential thing. If you thought about it on TV, it would be there, and that's the moment I'd love to travel back to.
Aww.
That was so cool.
I've thought of another one. Can I add to mine?
Of course.
So when my grandma was alive, she would rent out this cabin in the woods, and the whole family would come, all of her siblings and all of their kids and all of their grandkids. And so there was a whole bunch of us packed into this. And every year, one of our male relatives would come in and be Santa and hand out presents. And one year it was my dad, and I recognized him, and I was so proud that my dad was Santa Claus and handing out presents. And it was so nice.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Oh, hero dad dressed as Santa.
It's like, Dad, you never told me you were Santa.
Right? It's so much fun.
Okay, cool. Shall we draw it to a close there then?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for joining me for this. Have we got you in the mood, Odile?
Yeah, getting there.
Yeah. That's better. You sound more into it already. That's good.
Ding there.
Good. Okay. Well, you can catch me on Rogue 2 Media. We have all the stuff over there. You know where to find all this sort of things. Odile, do you have anything to plug on the internet at all? Do you do any more podcasts?
No, I don't anymore.
Okay. Amber, do you have anything at all?
I've got nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
We'll be back here.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll come and knock on your door and go, get us to record again.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we were going to sing songs, like Christmas songs.
Oh, yeah, we could too.
Yeah, we could, yeah.
As long as it's not on Halloween, I don't mind.
There are some good Halloween songs.
Are there?
Yes.
Are there really?
Yes. Have you not seen Nightmare Before Christmas?
No, I haven't, no. No, but I know, right? It's on Disney now, though, isn't it?
I don't know.
Maybe sure. I should check that out. Mm-hmm. I might check that out.
Yeah, it's a Christmas movie.
Is it a Christmas movie? Yeah?
Yes.
Are you sure? Are you tricking me into like a Halloween movie?
It's got Christmas in the title.
See?
And Nightmare in the title as well.
Well, for many parents, Christmas can be a nightmare.
That's true. That's true. See?
Yeah, it is.
You know, so, who knows? You're going to have to trust Amber.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, let's end this. We hope we have brought a little bit of joy into everyone else's lives by listening to this. You're very clever people. Thank you very much for downloading this. Pop along to iTunes and give us a rating, because we haven't had one over there for some time. But yeah, thank you once again, guys, for joining me. Thank you, Odile, for suggesting this as well. And dragging us on here to talk about our Christmas traditions.
Yep.
Cool. And with that, you are more than welcome. So with that, I would just leave me to say, please leave quietly. This is a residential area.
Bye.
Bye.